Is there a special date on the calendar?
Sunday.
Is there a special date on the calendar past Super Bowl? This is your reminder that Valentine's Day is this week. Do we know what day it is, men? Y'all are killing me here. It's the 14th. What day of the week is it this week?
Tuesday.
All right, so nobody's going to forget Valentine's Day. Thank you, Mindy, for that great reminder. I so appreciate it, Douglas, that Valentine's Day is coming. So I decided to start my message with some, here's some Valentine's jokes, right? What did the man with the broken leg tell his Valentine? I have a crutch on you. This is kind of like the dad jokes I had last time. Why did the dad approve of his daughter's goalie boyfriend? He was a real keeper. That one, I don't know. Okay. That one went over like a lead balloon. What did one oar tell the other oar? This is romantic. All right, I'll start torturing you after this one. What did the tortoise say on Valentine's Day? I turtily love you. Get on with the message. All right, fine. So today, this month, again, we've been asked to speak on love. And so I like many of us, have been going through some life that I don't care for. And I knew that today was my day to speak. And probably a month ago, I told a friend of mine, I said, I don't think I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to call and cancel, and I'm going to say, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I hate life right now. I hate everyone. I don't want to do it. And she said, well, fine, call and cancel, and someone else will fill in. And I'm like, good, I'm gonna. And then a couple days later, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I started something was deposited in my spirit from God, and I'm like, I was gonna cancel. I didn't want to do it, but all right, I will, right? And so the story, woke up in the middle of the night, I started thinking about Zacchaeus. And if any of you, like me, went to Sunday school as a kid, we used to sing a song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the to see what he could, right? All right, so here we go. We're going to start in Luke chapter 19. And I'm reading it out of the Passion Translation, so it may not read exactly how you remember in your Bible. But so we're going to just read the story, okay? So Jesus and Zacchaeus says, starting with verse 1, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus had to pass through Jericho. There lived a very wealthy man named Zacchaeus who supervised all the tax collectors. He was very eager to see Jesus and kept trying to get a look at him through the massive crowd. Since Zacchaeus was a short man and couldn't see over the heads of people, he ran on ahead of everyone and climbed up a blossoming fig tree to get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. When Jesus got to that place, he looked up into the tree and said, Zacchaeus, hurry on down here, for I must stay at your house today. So he scurried down the tree and found himself face to face with Jesus. You ever find yourself face to face with Jesus? Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus. Many in the crowd complained. Look at this, of all the people to have dinner with, he's going to eat with the house of a crook. Zacchaeus was amazed over his gracious visit to his home and joyously welcomed Jesus. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of all that I own, I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated anyone, we all know he had, if I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay them back four times as much as I stole. Jesus said, your repentance shows that today life has come to you and your household, and that you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and seek out and to give life to those who are lost. So here, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night with this story in my mind, and I'm like, what made Zacchaeus, like, totally do a 180 from being a taker to being a giver? What made him, like, I mean, it was Jesus. Yeah, it was God. But did Jesus say something? Was there some magical moment, one moment here? What was it? And I just kind of was pondering on that. I didn't come up with an answer right away. But here's the deal. For one, Zacchaeus was like, I want to see Jesus, right? He had something inside him that said, something's going on here, and I want to see him. I want to see from my own eyes what Jesus is saying and doing and how he's acting. I want to see this. And so he took it upon himself. I believe he was the only one in that tree, right? He took it upon himself to say, I'm going to climb that tree, and I'm going to see him. We see him taking action to see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you today, if you are seeking Jesus, you're going to find him, right? So in the King James Version, you know, when it says, here it says, your repentance shows that today life has come to you. It's salvation is used, the word that's used. And in the concordance, I looked it up, that whatever Greek Hebrew word that the Bible is written in, it says deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation, deliverance from enemies, messianic salvation, salvation as the present possession of all true Christians, future salvation, sum of benefits, blessing which the Christians redeemed from all earthly ills will enjoy after the visible return of Christ from heaven, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then it says in verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. Right? That save word is to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering one, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue, to save in the biblical sense, to save from penalties of judgment. So life in Jesus, because Jesus said, today life has come to you, right? And later he says that Jesus says, I have come to give life to those who are lost. Life in Jesus is salvation. Life in Jesus is to be rescued or saved from suffering. We're gonna just skip on to another story, right? John chapter 4. Many of us have heard the story of the lady at the well, right? The woman at the well. As with Zacchaeus, she's an outcast. I'm certain nobody liked Zacchaeus because he took the money from him and he stole from him and he was little. Come on, right? So we're going to move on to John chapter 4. Here's Jesus. He's with his disciples. It's like hot out. It's middle of the day, and they're hungry. And so the disciples are like, we're going to go into town and get some food. And Jesus says, I'm going to stay here. He's hungry. He's hot, right? Why did he decide that? So we're going to read the Bible here. John chapter 4, verse 5. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Wearied by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's well and sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." She replied, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? We all know you don't talk to us." Right? Okay, it didn't say that, but it did say this. Why would a Jewish man ask us for water? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus replied, if you only knew who I am, the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. The woman replied, but sir, you don't even have a bucket and the well is very deep. Where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob? I hear some sass. Okay, we'll keep going. Who dug this well and drank it himself along with his children and livestock? Jesus answered, if you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks from living water I give him, they will never be thirsty again. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life. Are there again? Life. The woman replied, let me drink the water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw in the middle of the day because all the other women come in the morning when it's cool out and I have to come in the middle of the day. We'll find out why. All right, so she says, give me this water. I got distracted, sorry. And Jesus said, go get your husband and bring him back here. But I'm not married, the woman answered. That's true, Jesus said, for you've been married 5 times. And now you're living with a man who's not your husband. You have definitely told the truth. The woman changed the subject. You must be a prophet. So tell me this, why do our fathers worship God in this nearby mountain? But your people teach that Jerusalem is a place we must worship. So she quickly got the focus off of her. Do any of your kids ever do that when you're like calling them out, dude, and they suddenly say, oh, but so-and-so, what about this over here, right? Anybody? They're like, yeah, she was really good at getting deflecting, okay? She changed the subject. Jesus says, believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you will worship the Father neither on mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart. Your people don't really know the one they worship. We Jews worship out of our experience, for it's from the Jews that salvation's available. From now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place and the right, but with a right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. The woman said, this is also confusing, but I do know that the anointed one is coming, the true Messiah, and he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. Jesus said, you don't have to wait any longer. The anointed one is speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for. At that moment, his disciples returned and were stunned to see Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman. Yet none of them dared ask him why or what they were discussing. All at once, the woman left her jar and ran off to her village and told everyone, come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the one we're waiting for. Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to see Jesus. All right, here's a great thought in my head. Anyway, I'll see if you agree. Jesus was waiting for the woman at the well. The woman at the well who had been married 5 times, who wasn't married now, living with a man, who was rejected by society, who had to come when it was hot out because she couldn't be around the holy, good people, the ones who lived their lives righteously and, you know, did everything right. But Jesus took the time to wait for her at the well. He wasn't at the well when the people who didn't need a savior were there. He wasn't at the well then. He was at the well when the woman who had been living her life in trying to find love, trying to find happiness, trying to make, you know what, just living her life. He was waiting. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes us living our lives, Jesus is waiting for you. And there is a set time and a set place that he's going to reveal himself to you sometimes when we'd least expect it. And I've had some of those experiences, and you think, can anyone agree with that? Can anyone have those memories that, oh my gosh, it just came out of nowhere in this amazing experience I just had with Jesus? He's waiting for us. If we look for him, we'll find him. And he's always waiting for us. Moving on. Oh, yeah. Good job. I have notes. So when Jesus says that for when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit flooding you with endless life. Endless life in the concordance is a state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. Full, absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God, real life and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ. I know some of us tonight are going to become very animated as we watch football, right? I know that we are, but Jesus is saying that he has this for you in this life, that we can become animated in him. And guess what? When we find Jesus and we spend that time with Jesus and he reveals himself to us, we do become animated. The woman at the well runs back to the village, right, and shares with the village who won't even speak to her, but man, they're like listening now and they're shunning her, but she's telling everyone about Jesus. Right? She had this encounter and it overflowed. Moving on. Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 11. Then Jesus said, once there was a father with two sons. The younger son came to his father and said, Father, don't you think it's time for me to have my share of the estate? I don't need to wait for you to die. I just want it now. So the father went ahead and distributed between the two sons their inheritance. Shortly after, the younger son packed up his belongings, traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far-off land where he soon wasted all he had been given on a binge of extravagant and reckless living. He knew the father. He knew the father. But he binged on reckless living and extravagant living. With everyone, things spent, nothing left, he grew hungry because there was a severe famine in the land. So he begged a farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop being given to the pigs because there was no one who would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, there are so many workers in my father's house who have all the food they want and plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I dying here of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back home to my father's house. And I'll say to him, Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never again be worthy to be called your son. Have any of us ever been there? I was wrong. God, I was wrong. I have sinned against you, and I am unworthy of what you give. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. The father raced out to meet him, swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. That is the picture of God for us. He loves us and is so wants to celebrate the essence of you. The son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be. And the father interrupted and said, Son, you're home. Turning to his servants, the father said, Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. Bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For my beloved son was once dead, but now he's alive. Once he was lost, but now he's found, and everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. Alive in the concordance, the full dictionary of that word is to live again, recover life, to be restored to a correct life of one who returns to a better moral state, to revive, to regain strength and vigor. So again, you know, when we're looking at the story of Zacchaeus, right? He was seeking, he wanted to see Jesus. And the Bible promises us that, you know, if you, in Matthew 7:7, it says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. That if we are seeking Jesus, we're going to find him. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So Zacchaeus, he came alive after meeting with Jesus. He stepped into his gifting and his purpose in life because you know what? He had been a taker, but he was born to be a giver. He had been a robber, right? But he was born to help to meet the needs of others. And the gifts that God had placed in him, you know he was good at math. You know he was good at organization, at business. Right? He took that time that he spent with Jesus and he turned it around into the life of who God destined him to be. So we look at the woman at the well and we see, you know, obviously she was just living her life and was being shunned by society, by her community, because she was living her life, you know, meeting her own needs, doing her own thing, right? And there are times you can be totally screwing up in life, and there are times appointed by God that he will reveal himself to you, and it changes everything. So I was, let's see. Doug and I used to be the youth ministers here on staff. And, you know, we had some life changes and a couple extra kids, and life was pretty overwhelming. And so we stepped down, and I stopped speaking for a while. And I remember so clearly, and some of you were there that day, I was sitting in the service in there. Pastor Dave was preaching, and he was, I don't even know what he was preaching on, right? And I was just sitting there listening, and out of nowhere, I felt God's presence. I felt like my heart was like, I mean, I'm like, am I having anxiety? What is this? Like, I just, and the more I sat there, I mean, I have no clue what the message was about that day, but I was having a major moment, I guess, with God. And as I sat there, I knew it was time for me to step back into ministry. And so we had a team meeting that Sunday, and I like, and it was still there, man. I felt that pull, that passion, that I felt it in me, and I'm like, okay, I got to get rid of this. And so fine, you know. And so I spoke up in team meeting, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but I seriously feel the Holy Spirit today drawing me back, and I am saying right now that, you know, whatever you guys need, I will step up again, right? So what changed me? I still had these small children. I still have these small children who overwhelm me, who I get calls from the school like all the time on. I work full time. I have a husband who overwhelms me, right? And so what changed? An encounter with Jesus. Right? And as we, you know, Poppy has always said, Pastor Dave has always said, you know, it's a picture of the cross. Our relationship with God, our time spent with Jesus is going to flow out to the others, to others around us, to our community, to our who we work with. It's going to come out naturally. So we don't have to push it. We don't have to, oh, I need to tell this person about Jesus, or I need to invite him to church. I'm going to say, find yourself in Jesus first. And it's going to come out naturally. The woman at the well was a gifted influencer. I believe that was her gifting from God. She had an encounter with Jesus, and she stepped into it and flowed with it. And that whole village got to hear Jesus, got to see Jesus. So the son who knew the father and walked away, right? That prodigal son. There is times that you know, we can do the Christian thing and still be in the Christian doing our stuff, but our hearts are far from, maybe from God. Our hearts aren't in it, right? And here's the thing. We come back to God. The father wants to lavish you with his love. And I know that there are times in my life where I, as a Christian, am only accepting this much. I'll come back, God, but I'm not worthy of all of that. I'm not worthy. I'll never be worthy. I've screwed up. My family's a mess. My blah, 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 blah. Poor me. I want to go to the garden and eat worms. Okay? That is the picture that I've lived as a Christian for a long time, that I'm not worthy of all this, all the love, all the goodness, all the grace, all the mercy, all the blessings, all the kisses. He was hugging him dearly and kissed him over and over with tender love. Who is comfortable with that love? When your mistakes, when you're hanging on to your failures, when you're hanging on to your hurts, who's comfortable with someone unconditional love? We want to hide from, I want to hide from it. Anybody else agree with that? I got one hand in the room. I'll take that hand. So I had looked up in Google. I just Googled, you know, define unconditional love. In the Webster's dictionary, I think it was Webster's, it says agape. We know that agape means unconditional love, but I looked up agape. It says In the New Testament, the fatherly love of God for humans, as well as the human reciprocal love for God. Agape love. In Scripture, the transcendent agape love is the highest form of love and is contrasted with eros or erotic love and philia or brotherly love. In John 3:16, a verse that's often described as a summary of the gospel message, agape is the word used for the love that moved God to send his only son for the world's redemption. The term necessarily extends to the love of one's fellow humans, as the reciprocal love between God and humans is made manifest in one's unselfish love of others. Wow. And we come to Agape Christian Family Church. And the love that I have felt here, others have felt here, is the God's love for us. And when we step into that and we have those encounters and step into the gifts that God has placed in each and every one of us, that those giftings of that love is going to flow easily. To be saved from destruction, given the Holy Spirit that is flooding you with endless life, and to have your homecoming be celebrated in unconditional love, you will want to share this love with others. It will be an overflow of what you have, nothing forced or worked up. You will come alive in Jesus. So with that, I hope the worship team has a final song. If you want to come on up, and we have prayer friends that come up to the front. And you know what? If you have connected with this message in any way, if you feel a stirring in your gut, you're something clenched, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit drawing you. I would encourage you, I would ask you to come to the front. Come just worship God. Come pray with someone. Our prayer friends that are here, you know what? They're here confidentially to share an expression of God's unconditional love with you. And so, you know, if you are in need of prayer, or you just, you know, you connected with one of those three things, that you connected with seeking Jesus, and I just want to know him. There's something stirring in me, and I want more. I know there's more, and I want to see him. I want to climb that tree and see the goodness of Jesus. Or I've been living my life, and my life's a mess. I'm going to tell you that you are here for an appointed time, that God's presence is here, and he will reveal himself to you. And, you know, as well as if you are the prodigal and you said, I am here and I don't want to be, or I'm here and I'm unworthy of all that God has for me, there's a special anointing here for God's presence to meet you where you're at. So I would encourage you to come forward. You don't have to pray with someone, but if you want to, if you feel that draw of the Holy Spirit, then please do. And we're going to go ahead, sing one more song here, and dismiss. So be praying for Jenny this week, that she recovers from that flu bug. And I love you guys. Super Bowl, I know, is coming. It's coming at 5 o'clock or whatever, but right now, let's take this moment and just focus on Jesus, okay?